High heat and humidity return to Washington this week, and so does Congress, at least what's left of the 114th session. Only 3 weeks remain in the federal fiscal year, and there's no budget. What can we expect? For some answers, we turn to David Hawkins, senior editor at Roll Call. And David, you've written a fairly comprehensive piece about what we can expect from the remainder of the 114th Congress. It's kind of rolling out to sea like a weak hurricane, it seems.
That's a good analogy.
So what can we expect?
So what can we expect? Well, what we can expect is that the next 3 weeks before the end of the fiscal year, sure, there'll be some what we call messaging bills that they're going to vote on that are designed to make it look like things are happening, things really aren't happening. And really the only real business between now and when Congress goes home again to campaign for November 8th is the first installment of what will probably be a two-installment government by omnibus or government by continuing resolution. I think that Congress will come to an agreement on a continuing resolution by the deadline or within hours of the deadline. The deadline this year is on a Friday, so that will prompt some members of Congress to want to play chicken maybe into the weekend when any potential government shutdown wouldn't have much effect. But I think that there will be an agreement relatively quickly to keep the government open because, you know, Congress, the Republicans are already feel a big weight around their necks in Donald Trump's candidacy. Congress generally is, if not at the absolute record low approval rating, pretty close to it. And the only thing they could do really to make that worse, the Republicans, is to shut the government down or be blamed for shutting the government down. And as we know, for those of us who've paid attention to this stuff or lived through it, in the past shutdowns have all really been blamed on the Republican Congresses, not on the Democratic presidents who they've been up against in these shutdowns.
That's true, but really technically it takes two to tango, though, correct?
It does take two to tango, and surely the president, you know, has the ability to go along with whatever the Republicans come up with. I think, actually, in this case, the fight is not so much between the Republicans and President Obama as it is between the Republicans and themselves, between the mainstream leadership types who want no drama, who want to keep the government running more or less in place, and the more combative fiscal hawks, the budget hawks, who want to wage some kind of holy war, either for lower spending levels or for some sort of social policy riders or restrictions on funding that would complicate matters and that the president would then need to oppose. So it's, the first battle is between Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and on the one hand, and the combative Freedom Caucus types on the other. And that's really where the friction is going to be in the weeks ahead. It's just how hard those conservative combatants fight for something special that would complicate matters.
And why is there really much negotiation needed for a continuing resolution since nothing changes? They could really pass it tomorrow if they wanted.
That's right. They could pass it tomorrow. There are a couple of things going on here. One is the most combative Republicans, the true conservatives, they say with some justification that the best thing to do is to pass a continuing resolution that lasts from the start of the fiscal year on October 1st all the way into the middle of next year. That essentially 6 months. They'd like to kick it beyond the election, beyond the inauguration, and gamble that the next president, even if it's Hillary Clinton, and the next Congress, even if it's a partly Democratic Congress, if the Senate goes Democratic, gamble that the new Congress would and the new president would then come up with a more reasonable and fiscally responsible, in their view, spending plan than the alternative, which is to pass a continuing resolution that only lasts beyond the election and turns it over to the lame duck Congress to try again to come up with a comprehensive bill. These conservatives say, in the past, those kind of after-the-election omnibus comprehensive budget deals don't represent conservative fiscal values. They almost always include lots of little provisions that spend more money, lots of little policy provisions that conservatives don't like. So their top objective is to postpone this whole thing, kick the can way down the road, and have next year's Congress do it.
We're speaking with senior editor David Hawkins of Roll Call. And so the lame duck session, which would come after the election, that's still technically the 114th, though, correct?
That's exactly right. So the 114th Congress, all the people elected to the 114th Congress, stay in office until January 3rd of next year. So there are, whatever that is, seven or eight weeks after the election when they, even if they've been defeated or they're retiring, they are still members of Congress. The general principle of a lame duck session is that it's the time in the political calendar when members of Congress are least concerned about politics. They have either won re-election and have, you know, many of them 23 months to go before the next election, or 6 years in the case of the Senate before the next election. So those people can put politics aside briefly. And surely the folks who have been defeated or who are retiring at the end of the year have no political imperatives. And so the idea is that a lame duck can be a time for sort of more political, politics-free decision-making. The harder choices can get made because the voters aren't going to scream as loud or don't have the power to punish them as soon.
And you also have mentioned some things that will definitely not happen, such as anything comprehensive on Zika, although I guess the NIH is making do with what it has. Gun control, which is beloved of the Democrats. Also, federal criminal sentencing, which reform of that had bipartisan support. All of those solid things, those are absolutely off the table for now.
Those seem all off the table. There might be a little money for Zika included in this first CR. Maybe not. Yes, all of what I just said aside about lame duck being politics free, the things that are left on the agenda for Congress to do in a lame duck are relatively modest. Several of them have already been abandoned, like you just described. Another one that was supposed to be kind of the big deal in the lame duck was ratification of this Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal, President Obama's top objective for his final 2 years in office. Now that Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump have both come out against that, it's very likely that if President Obama insists on a vote, it'll be rejected, and he probably doesn't want to go out of office with such a stinging defeat on his hands. So there probably won't even be a vote on the so-called TPP. There are some other minor bills, the opioids, mental health, not totally minor, but not, you know, grand sweep of history bills. There is, as I say, opioids and mental health and an energy bill. The other thing that I still think there's an outside chance could get done in the lame duck session would be the confirmation of Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court. What Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, has said is it's up to the next president to decide who should fill that seat. I think that's a signal that if Hillary Clinton is elected and she says Merrick Garland's okay by me, that there may be some move by Republicans as well as Democrats to just say, let's not have this fight next year, let's have it this year and get him confirmed before the end of the year.
David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for that update.
Thanks, Tom.
You can read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.